Returning tonight again to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs and the chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And we conclude what was just a short series, four messages. There will be four messages on what we've entitled We Creature Preachers, looking at these little creatures that are spoken of here in Proverbs chapter 30, coming to look at the spider tonight, something that a lot of people are afraid of. I don't understand why anybody would be afraid of a spider. I really don't. I know it's mostly ladies that are frightened of spiders. I mean, I couldn't understand that a man would ever be frightened of a spider. Not at all. Isn't that right, James? Better say nothing. His mummy's here. She'll give me a hiding on the way out if I say anything. But if it's anything like our house, there'll be squeals, there'll be shouts, Daddy, Daddy, or Garth, Garth, at the top of your head, top of their heads, and you probably hear them. And this massive spider, and I go thinking I'm going to come across a tarantula, and I get this little thing climbing up a wall, and they can't sleep because of this spider. But there you go, we all have our own fears, and I suppose if I were to see a mouse or a rat, well, you wouldn't see me for dust. But anyway, we're going to look at the spiders tonight, so hold on tight for all you arachnophobes out there. Verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. Very simply, we've entitled our message for tonight, The Spider's Sermon. But before we come to the Word of God, let's still our hearts in a word of prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee, Lord, for these hymns that we've been singing together. And Lord, for that old story of Jesus and His love. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that as we come now to Thy Word, Lord, that You'd be pleased to take, Lord, the Word of God, the Scriptures of truth. Lord, we pray especially tonight that You would speak to those in this meeting who are out of Christ, who know not the Lord as their Savior. We pray, Lord, that this night, even as we consider, Lord, this little creature, we ask, O God, Lord, that it'll speak to many hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You'll come and out of the Word of God, challenge hearts, convert souls, save lives. O God, we ask. So, Lord, to this end, we pray for the help, the enabling power of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to preach, help us to hear. And, O God, come upon us, come amongst us, we pray. Speak to hearts, Lord. Make this house a house of salvation tonight. Some sinner coming in faith and repentance to the Savior. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Now this might make some of you a little fidgety, but apparently you're never more than 10 feet away from a spider. But panic not, they normally hide in crevices and they don't make an appearance unless they are really provoked. Spiders, you will know, come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, thousands upon thousands of different species of spiders. But what intrigued me the most about the spider, about their nature, was the female spider. Of course, the females always intrigue the males anyway. But the female spider has a very big appetite. And they love the male spider so much that they could eat them. And apparently that's exactly what they do. Many a male spider, according to research, has been eaten alive on his honeymoon night by his new wife. And that has given rise to the name of the Black Widow Spider. In fact, the more I read of the female spider, I came to the conclusion that they're not really after mates, they're more after meals. But I suppose when we think of the spider, we think of what they are most well known for, and that is the making of a web, the bane of every tidy person's life, those with OCD is a spider's web. Because you've no sooner cleared a spider's web away from that corner till all of a sudden it appears again. And so tonight, as we think of the spider's web, we want to think of the spiritual lessons that there are for us, because there are lessons. This little creature tonight, as with the other creatures that we thought of, the ants, the conies, and last week the locusts, they speak to us. They preach a very important and a very powerful sermon. And especially tonight, as we think of the spider, we want to consider the doctrine of sin as we see it in the spider, in the form of the spider. I want you to see, first of all, with me, the activity of the spider. And when you think of what a spider actually does, it's all about death. It's all about deception. There's nothing really positive or encouraging that a spider does. It eats insects. It traps prey. It kills its own. And for some, its venom can be deadly and poisonous to humans. These little creatures, and most of the varieties of spiders, they're very small, yet their work is deadly and destructive. And how that teaches us tonight about sin. Sin in this generation, and I suppose in every generation, is seen as a little thing. Sin tonight is seen as something insignificant. Sin tonight is seen as something that really isn't all that very powerful. But when we consider sin tonight, and what sin is, that little three-letter word, a small word, an apparently insignificant word, yet its activity, the activity of sin and Satan, is always destructive. When we come across, first of all, sin in the Garden of Eden, and I want you to bear in mind here what we're thinking in this first point about the activity of the spider, how active the spider is, how that it never ceases in its activity. It's always on the lookout for its prey, somewhere to build its web. It's always busy. We see that in sin as well. We don't have to go too far into the Scriptures to find sin. In fact, we find it at the very start of human history. Satan came in creature form then as well, in the form of a serpent, busy, active, with no other intention but death and destruction and damnation. Why did Satan, in the form of a serpent, come to Adam and Eve? It was not to better their lives. It was not to increase their lives. It was not for any good intention. It was not to make them better or to make them greater. It was to bring them down. Just as with the activity of the spider, which is intent on destroying its prey, the activity of Satan and sin tonight is to bring the sinner down. We read there in verse 28, the spider taketh hold with her hands. And that's exactly what sin does to the sinner. It takes hold of the sinner. It grasps the sinner. It has the sinner in its sight. And its only intention tonight, for those who are here without the Savior still in your sin, the only intention that Satan has for you is to grab you, hold you, and bring you down to a lost eternity. His only desire tonight for you is to bring you to that place of eternal torment that was prepared for him and his angels. Oh, don't think tonight that sin is anything glamorous. Don't think tonight that your sin is something to be proud of, something to boast of, though sadly many do. And yes, of course, sinners prosper in this world. And it appears tonight in this nation of ours in which we live that sinners have the upper hand. Sin holds the reign of power tonight. The power of sin is great. The activity of sin is rampant. And we've seen that in recent times, even in our own province. And you open the floodgate just a little and sin floods in. Active. And seeking ever more to get a stranglehold upon a people and upon a nation. And what is the purpose of it all? It's to bring the nation, bring the people down. But on a much smaller scale and in a more personal level, that's exactly what the activity of sin and Satan is all about tonight. It is to bring you down. You see, tonight, sinner, in this meeting, there is nothing. There is nothing for you to look forward to. The only thing you have tonight ahead of you is a lost eternity in hell for all eternity. And if you die in your sin, rejecting Christ and the gospel of Christ, then sin will bring you down. Sin will bring you down. You may have your moments of sin. And certainly tonight in this world, sin is having its moment. Man is having his day. But then, while you may have your moment of sin here, you will have an eternity of punishment in hell fire for all eternity. The psalmist in Psalm 73 talked about the prosperity of the wicked. And he couldn't understand why the wicked were prospering and the godly were being so maligned. He couldn't understand it. And then the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord challenged him, and the Lord reminded him about the end of the sinner. The psalmist in Psalm 73 says, "Then remembered I their end." He remembered the end of a sinner was a lost eternity. That all the activity of sin in the life of a sinner was not to better them, not to make them any better at all, but was to bring them down. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 1, he says, "When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." What shall be the end of them who obey not the gospel? What shall be the end of they who are active in sin, living in sin? It's a lost eternity. The spider's activity, it's all about death and destruction, reminds us of the activity of Satan. It's all for him about eternal damnation and eternal separation. His activity is to bring you down, to hold you in his power, to bring you to a lost hell. And the devil never ceases in that activity, just as we said with the spider. You take down a spider's web, very soon another one will come in its place. No matter how many times you try to remove a spider's web, there'll always be another one. Every time a web is damaged in some way, the spider very quickly will make sure it's mended. And sinner, tonight, Satan, his desire will always be to keep you in his power. And every time he sees you, perhaps under conviction of sin, perhaps with a thought in your mind, maybe I should get saved, he will do all in his power to hold you all the more. and to keep you from coming to Christ, keep you under the power and the dominion of sin. Sin's activity, like the spider's activity, it's deadly. And oh, that tonight in this meeting, you would realize this evening that your sin will bring you to a lost eternity, and that your sin will cause you to be separated from God for all of eternity. The spider taketh hold with her hands. That's the case. That's the state of every sinner tonight. You're in the grip of sin and Satan. No, you say, maybe I can do as I please. Nobody tells me what to do. No. You're a servant and a slave to sin tonight. Tonight, not too far from this church, there are homes ruined by alcohol. And just one drink, and they thought they could control it. But that one drink led to another, and soon led to alcohol abuse and a life ruined and wrecked. That's what sin does. Sin might appear glamorous, but in the end, sin is treacherous. Oh, that tonight you'd realize that you would be wise, that you would see the activity of sin in your life is only to destroy you. The activity of the spider. But I want you to see as well with me in the second place here the allurement of the spider. As we said, the spider is most well known for constructing a beautiful work of art known as its web. And from within its lower body, it spins out countless threads of very carefully constructed web in order to put together this, what seems a beautiful piece of artwork. It's from within the spider works. And there is no doubt that if you look at a spider's web, through the sunlight especially, you see the intricate detail, you can see the clear allurement of the web. It is a spectacular piece of work, but remember the whole idea of it. It is to allure the prey to its death. And all of this is done from within the spider. That which seems so pretty and so attractive is weaved and spun from within. How that speaks to us of what is within the heart of man by nature. We read in Mark chapter 7, 4, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things, the gospel writer says, come from within and defile the man. All of those things, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thoughts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy. You say, I wouldn't be involved in any of those, but there's another one there, it's pride. A proud, stubborn heart that says tonight, I don't need Christ. A proud, rebellious heart tonight that says, I don't need His salvation. All these things come from within, just as with the spider, and defiles man. The heart of man, from within man, is deceitful, above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so from within the spider, this web of apparent delight is woven together in order to allure the prey. And starting out with the circumference of the web, it creates an outer boundary. Then it spins a web of thread right into the very middle and fills all the space that it can. And on each little thread, there is a little gum substance which is used to trap the prey in the web so that it cannot release itself. And that's in view there, I believe, as well in verse 28. The spider taketh hold with her hands. She makes the web so alluring and so attractive that when the prey or when the fly or whatever comes and gets trapped in the web, it can't release itself. And then once the spider finishes its work, after carefully weaving all the threads together into its masterpiece, it then retreats back to a dark corner, waiting for its first victim. The web is a place of darkness. The web is a place of deception. The web is a place of destruction. Oh yes, it looks very attractive. To the natural eye, it looks very intriguing, very appealing. It looks something that is innocent and harmless. And isn't that how sin works? Isn't that how sin and Satan operates tonight? Sin is seen as something that isn't really all that very important. It appeals to the flesh. Sin tonight seems harmless to the world. Sin seems like it could have no real power over you, and yet that's how Satan works. And Satan tonight has you in his grasp and has you in his grip. And he gets you so intrigued and eventually overpowers you. That's the web of deceit and the web of destruction. Do you know, as I thought of that, isn't it interesting that in this age in which we live, that the portal through which we get most of our information tonight, today, is via what? The web. The www dot. The World Wide Web. The internet's that portal that has all the information, all the store of information. But what is it that brings all that information together? It's the web. The World Wide Web, not called the web for any haphazard reason, but like the spider's web, it brings everything together. Now, of course, the web is a very useful tool, very useful, but on the other side, the web, the World Wide Web, has been the source of many a downfall. The World Wide Web has been the source of much darkness and much ruination of homes. It has allured so many people. And the filth and the dirt that's on the web has caused, it seems so attractive and seems so appealing, has brought many down to their death, sadly. The allure, the attraction of the web. Little poem says, "Will you walk into my parlor?" said the spider to the fly. "'Tis the prettiest little parlor that ever you did spy. The way into my parlor is up a winding stair, and I've many a curious thing to show you when you are there." "Oh, no, no," said the little fly, "to ask me is in vain, for who goes up the winding stair can never come down again." But then the poem goes on. The spider doesn't give up. And again it appeals to the fly to come into its web. And eventually the fly gives in, trapped in the web and never seen again. It's very true to life, because how many tonight have been allured and attracted by the appeal of sin? As they have looked at sin, they have seen it, that's something that they want. It's something to be pleased, it's something to be desired, it's something that will bring satisfaction to their life, and yet they just come in a little and the devil gets a grip on them. And that sin eventually ruins and destroys their life. Oh, sinner, tonight you love your sin. You won't let go of it. Perhaps that just that little bit of sin, you want to keep a hold of it. Listen, you want to keep your sin. Attractive and appealing though it may be, you want to keep your sin, you'll never be in God's heaven. You want to hold on to that little bit of sin in your life, just that little thing that is appealing to you, that is satisfying to you. It will keep you out of God's heaven. And it'll damn your soul. Oh, that tonight you would see that all that glitters is not gold. While tonight sin might seem appealing and satisfying to the flesh, sin will destroy your soul. The activity of the spider, the allurement of the spider. But finally, as we close tonight, I want you to see the attack of the spider. Once the prey, the fly, whatever it is caught in the web, the spider very quickly makes its way to its victim. It travels down one of the threads, gets its helpless victim in its grip, sticks its fangs into it and kills it, destroys it, and devours it. The spider is ruthless, merciless, heartless. There's no point of the fly trying to bargain with the spider. It's pointless. And you know, tonight Scripture describes the devil as a roaring lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And tonight, sinner, Satan wants to devour your life and Satan wants to damn your soul. And his attack, his grip on you will ultimately end. If your sins are not forgiven, if you do not look to Christ, if you're not released from the grip and the power of sin, your sins will ultimately end. That sin will not only dominate you in life, it'll damn you in death. I want you to turn with me as we close tonight to the closing book, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and this brings before us the final judgment. Revelation chapter 20 and the verse 9. It says there, they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived. See the deception of the devil. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever. Then listen to this. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. This is the final judgment. This is the last judgment. This is where every condemned, damned sinner will stand before being cast into an outer darkness. In verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? What shall be the end of those whose life has been an activity of sin, who have been allured by sin, who want to hold on to their sin, who don't want to let go of their sin? What will be the end? It's here. Cast into the lake of fire. Stand before that great white throne of judgment. Your name not written in the Lamb's book of life. You'll be cast into darkness. You know, I think if we were to think more and more of what it must be for a soul to be lost in hell, our lives would be changed. If we were to think of what it must be tonight for a lost soul in a lost eternity, we, as Christians, would be more fervent in our witness for the Lord. It was William Booth, the Salvation Army, who said to his students one day, "More than any Bible class or any teaching that I could give you, if I could just open hell for a second and see lost souls." What must it be to close your eyes in death, be cast into hell? Oh, sinner, tonight be wise. Understand the snare of sin. Flee from that sin tonight. Tonight run to Christ, the one who died for you on the cross of Calvary to save you from sin, the one who on the cross endured your hell that you would never go there. Tonight see in Christ your only hope, your only way of salvation. Listen tonight to the sermon that the spider preaches, a sermon about sin, a sermon about a snare, and a sermon about a separation. Oh yes, sin attracts in this life, but it damns in death. As we close this meeting tonight, I say, with the grace and the love to your soul, whatever you do tonight, don't go to hell. Don't go to a lost eternity. Tonight, run to Christ, repent of your sin, get to Him, realizing tonight that if you hold on to your sin, you have nothing ahead of you but a countless eternity in the lake of fire. Oh, tonight be saved. Listen, learn from the instruction of the spider, and tonight get to the Savior. Let's bow in prayer. And as our heads are bowed tonight, God has been speaking to you, the Holy Spirit has been striving with you. I can assure you tonight that the old devil will be doing all he can to hold you in his grip and take your mind away to any and every other thing. But tonight, this is serious. This is important. Tonight, you need to get to Christ. And you need to do it now. Don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Not one of us who knew Sandra Todd would have ever have thought that this week we'd be conducting her funeral. 41 years of age. You need to get to Christ now before it's forever too late. Don't put off the day of your salvation. Don't be held in the grip of sin and the allure of sin anymore, but come to Christ who can set you free. May God give you the grace to come. You want to speak to me? Then do that tonight. You're troubled, you're concerned. Get to Christ. Our Father and our God, we pray, Lord, that you'll take all that has been of thyself. Lord, use it to thy glory, to the salvation of the lost. Eternal God and our Father, we pray tonight, do thine own work, save in this meeting, before it is forever too late. Answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen.